Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Krang, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kale Teeter, and Russell Young, discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on LinkedIn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 493. Kale, we're getting close to that 500. We're going to have to plan something. But this is episode number 493 being recorded on April 24th, 2024. And we are here to talk today with our special guest, Priyanka Kher, talking about Azure Advisor. And normally we would have some news. I'm joined by Kale, and Sujit will be a couple minutes late, but Sujit and I did a show just Friday, and so we used up all the news. Ironically, there has not been anything that's come across my inbox. So the good news is that gives us more time with our special guest, Priyanka. So let's just get into that. Priyanka, let's start out, like, tell us who you are and what you do here for Microsoft.
Hey, thank you, Evan, for having me on this show, and really appreciate. I'm the 493. I'm going to see you again at 500. Let's just say that.
Okay.
So I'm Priyanka Kher. I'm part of Azure CXP team, and I lead Azure Advisor as a product. I have been leading it for almost 2 years, and it has been a great ride since then. I have been with Microsoft 5 years now, but I'm a boomerang. I couldn't stay away from Microsoft for too long, so I had to come back 5 years ago. But very excited to be here, Evan and Kale, and looking forward to this conversation. As you know, I love Advisor, and let's see where this goes.
Yeah, this is actually, the reason we invited you on is because Advisor has gone through a significant evolution over the last couple of years.
Yes.
And, we wanted to talk, we had, Amit Bajaj on a couple of weeks ago to talk about the retirement workbook, which has a lot of integration with Advisor, but there's a whole bunch of other new features that we've added to Advisor over the last couple of years. So maybe let's just start out with, what do you like? We've added this ability now to have almost a two-way conversation with customers. Maybe let's start with that. What is that feature, and why did we build it?
Yeah, so I think, Evan, you're talking about our managed reviews, the latest pillar.
Absolutely.
That we introduced,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, Advisor, as we, everybody who has been using Advisor, they know it as a personalized consultant, which is definitely personalized, intuitive, understands your deployments and provides you all the guidance. Now, that guidance is provided today with all our automated recommendations that are coming directly from services you are leveraging, right? In addition to that, as everybody knows and has experienced, especially our enterprise customers, on how heavily Microsoft engages in a shared responsibility model to manage customers' resiliency today. So all our customers they can enroll into Microsoft programs where they engage directly with us, right? And then these programs work with you guys to provide you the right guidance, personalize and completely prioritize based on what you are looking for or what your deployment is for or what are your critical applications. Now, all that context has been shared earlier offline or by means of different tools. Now, what Advisor does now with the managed pillar that we newly introduced brings all of the context of your engagement with Microsoft and your personalized and prioritized recommendations into Advisor context. There are two reasons that we are doing this. One reason is providing all recommendations from Microsoft, whether they are automated or provided by our field engineers or anything else related to WAF assessments, for example. All of these come in one place. You don't have to go hunt for, Microsoft told me 10 things which are somewhere shared in an Excel sheet or somewhere else. There is one-stop shop. Advisor tells you all about the guidance that Microsoft is providing. And then second thing is we are enabling a mechanism to track the progress being made on these recommendations in a shared responsibility model. For example, when we are posting these as part of resiliency reviews on Advisor, we are able to track if there are recommendations which you plan to address. And we are also listening to our customers on if you don't want to address those recommendations because you're probably using a 3P solution. You don't even want to leverage the service we are providing. Or you are saying, you know, the instructions you are giving us are too complex. Make it simpler for us to adopt because your recommendations are like too complex. So we are reading into those signals via this new managed reviews pillar, especially for resiliency management. And then we are going to feed that into our systems and improve our systems and support you better.
I like what you were talking about there. You know, when people do the WAF reviews or the well-architected framework reviews, the problem historically has been, you know, most customers I talk to, they have every intention of doing this stuff, but it's in email, it's in some document somewhere, and it just gets lost over time. And so what you're talking about is we're actually now going to funnel that stuff into, you know, data sources that'll show up in Advisor. So now they see that sort of full history of it. They know what workload it goes through. They know when they've done it. And we also, you know, again, not that we're going to, you know, stand over you or anything, but like we know what customers have done as well so that we can see that, yes, you know, this customer is doing this. Okay, great. Yeah. No, because that's always been the problem is, right, people just lose track without meaning to, right? It's not intentional. It's just unintentional.
Some of the areas where we have made a lot of progress is around the zonal resiliency recommendations. This is going to help us provide the zonal resiliency redundancy related recommendations across all the services that matter today, right? So all of our critical services will start having that. We already have it for about, I think, 6 services like VM, SQL, Cosmos, ExpressRoute, some more. We have all of that, but then most of the services will have the zonal recommendations as part of reviews. We will have that in workbooks also. There is a retirements workbook that you guys talked about. There's another reliability workbook as well, where we will be able to see all these zonal resiliency recommendations. So a lot of progress being made on the, as you know, you can hear in my voice, on resiliency management overall.
Yep, Priyanka, and what's the typical user experience for surfacing these advisor recommendations? Like, is it when the user is on a specific service? Do they have like a dashboard for all of the advisor, you know, for all the advisor recommendations? Can they track them somewhere? I'm just curious how that works.
Yeah, that's a great question, Sujit. So Azure Advisor is available on Azure Portal. That's first. You can go into Azure Portal and then into Advisor Blade. And within that blade, there is, because we are talking reliability, I'll take that as an example. If you go into reliability pillar now, if you have engaged with Microsoft, then you will see reviews as a tab there as well. So you'll see all the automated recommendations and review-based recommendations. That's one way. But all advisor recommendations are also available via REST APIs for an integration into individual customer systems. So a lot of our customers actually use 3P integrations, and they use APIs to track all these recommendations into their own systems. So you can do both ways.
I see. And what's the use case behind that? Behind using the API, like why would somebody want to do that? Is it just to be able to surface these recommendations in another tool, or to track them somewhere, like in a Jira system or something of that nature?
Yeah. So there are a lot of our customers who are, you know, hybrid clouds customers, or they have their own ecosystem, or they integrate with other 3P services, not only with Azure services. So they like to see all the recommendations in their own ecosystem. And that's where I think our API usage is much higher than portal usage, because on portal, you can see only Azure specific, your Azure deployment specific recommendations. Having said that, we are seeing a very increased usage of portal as well, because in portal we provide additional context of filtering and grouping by your workloads, which you cannot do right now in your 3P systems across all the other clouds.
And just a piece of definition for the audience. So at Microsoft, we talk about 1P and 3P. 1P is our first party services that we ship, we deploy, we manage, and then 3P is, you know, partners and ISVs that are, you know, that people are leveraging that sit on top of the core Azure. You talked about the portal and visibility in the portal. You know, if I own a workload, do I buy, you know, if I have rights to, you know, edit or see a workload in, you know, underneath the Azure Resource Group. Do I by default have ability to see those recommendations, or do I need additional RBAC privileges to see the advisor recommendations? How does that part end up working?
It absolutely works fine if you have access to those resource groups or resources. So if you have access on Azure portal to particular resources, or sometimes even at subscription level, we have the recommendations. Advisor is all free and you're able to use. You don't need any additional RBAC for that.
Okay, so it sort of flows through based on what I have access to in the first place. Okay, great.
Yeah,
great.
Actually, one way to validate that or see that is also, say, if you have a resource, if you go on that resource page, and if you have any active recommendations, it will also show up on that managed resource page. So you don't always have to go into Advisor. We try to meet customers where they are. So you will be able to see Advisor recommendations in resource today or in Advisor, and in future in Copilot as well on Azure portal.
Great. Yeah. The other thing you mentioned, the zonal resiliency, that we've done a bunch of investments in that, you know, in recent times. But I know that we've also done a bunch of investment to take, you know, this multitude of best practices that are sort of floating around in our documentation and pull some of that in as well. Can you speak a little bit to the investments that we're making there?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of our customers who engage with Field today, they are used to leveraging a recommendation catalog in GitHub, which has the Azure Resource Graph queries attached to it. Mm-hmm. Our Field uses that, and that catalog is also available for customers to leverage. You know, they can use us in Azure Resource Graph query to create those recommendations. What we are trying to do now is bring the whole catalog into Advisor catalog. So in the backend, we will have a consolidation of service-based automated recommendations that are fully based on WAF design principles. Mm-hmm. Then we are bringing in the Field engagement catalog, which are based on Azure Resource Graph, because these are the ones where Field has, you know, identified that these are the top ones, these are the problems that customers usually face and can get guidance on. And the third one we are trying to bring is also WAF assessment based. A lot of our customers run assessments when they go into learn.microsoft.com on their WAF. It's a survey-based assessment. Those recommendations will also come in. So there will be one centralized catalog which will be driving automated recommendations based on design principles, WAF assessment-based recommendations that are totally survey-based, very heavily used by somebody who is establishing a new Azure deployment. And third is the guidance, the whole catalog that our Field has curated, keeping customer, priorities in mind.
And this is really about, because, you know, while we absolutely, you know, Microsoft would love to work with all of our customers, the reality is there's way too many customers for us to talk to, you know, anytime. And so we're trying to sort of service that larger audience that we may not never talk to directly, but we want to give them the same information, right? We're not trying to create a walled garden at that point.
No, okay, absolutely not. We want everybody to be able to leverage everything we have got, all the information, all guidance we can provide, and then, you know, manage resiliency the same way. The only customization we provide with managed reviews is when we are deeply engaging on, you know, assessing a specific critical application for any customer. That's the time when we engage more deeply and help prioritization as well. That's where I think there is a little bit of additional help and shared responsibility that we enable. But yes, absolutely, everybody can leverage everything we have got.
Yeah. I think it looks like Evan may have asked a similar question that I had, which is, you know, besides resiliency, what else are you covering? So thanks for covering that. But I'm just, you mentioned earlier, like a lot of the stuff is put into context for advisors to, so that can provide personalized answers to the customer. I'm just curious, are we using things like OpenAI or something in the background to do some of this stuff? What is, or is that something you can feel comfortable sharing as to how this, what the technology is in the back?
We are exploring OpenAI and complete integration right now. So Advisor was more intelligent even before, you know, we started deeply investing in OpenAI. You just bring me to a thing that came up when Copilot, Azure Copilot was launched, that our customers immediately thought that every question they are going to ask, the answer will be from Advisor immediately. So, because Advisor is already so intelligent. Having said that, so today the way it works is we have queries very targeted to specific services and customer deployments that are forming these recommendations. So every day when you are changing your deployment, we have the logic in the backend across each of the individual services, the way it works. But we are working on understanding how we can bring in all of this huge data that we have and the content we have to leverage OpenAI to curate even smarter recommendations and more personalized, very, very specific. The one thing where we are trying to see how we can address is actionability of recommendations. So today, still our majority of recommendations will help you understand the guidance around, hey, these are the 10 steps you can take to make, you know, to make this change. We are not providing customers everywhere an ability to take an action immediately. Hey, click on this button, you are done. Your configuration is set. You're all zonal resilient, for example. So that's where I think we are investing more and seeing how we can leverage AI apart from the work we are doing with all the guided workflows. There is one very small change which we recently made with Cosmos DB, where if you want Cosmos DB to be zone resilient, there is a recommendation on Advisor. And that recommendation will help you click on it, take the action immediately, and done with it. So that's the area where we are investing more and trying to understand how this will work. So in future, you can envision that Copilot will tell you that, hey, you need to address this, and you click on it and it's done. We want to be at that level. We are not there yet, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, one question I had too that kind of follows on with that is, like, as customers are using this, right? So I think about, like, from an engineer perspective, when we have our tests and we have, like, code coverage, right? And then we have the score, and usually, like, obviously we want to be 100%, but you can't always get there. In fact, most of the time you don't get there. So you set a bar and say it's going to be 80% or 90% or something like that. Is there a concept in this tooling to kind of allow those kind of achievements to get there too, to say, here's our low bar, like we have to be at least 90% covered here with the recommendations from Azure Advisor? How's that work? Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question, Kale, and actually one of the big investment areas, one of the biggest investment areas for us. So we have the well-architected pillar scores today on Advisor. On Advisor, you are able to see your score of cost optimization, security, reliability, performance, and ops excellence. These scores are heavily based on recommendation adoption, like, you know, what you were saying, but they also have a logic behind them on how you are using your resources. Is the usage high? Is the impact of the recommendation high or not? So the capping of that and setting up a target score is not a capability we have today. What we are actively investigating and actively working on is bringing in ability for customers to define application level targets, and the score will tweak based on that. Today's score will be based on all the recommendations, all the resources. First element, first phase, which we are trying to bring in, you can group or filter the score by your critical workloads. So once we have that critical application context, first we will provide, oh, for your critical application, your score is, say, 90% or 70%. Then second level will be, okay, what is your actual target score? We don't have that context today in Advisor, but it is definitely in our pipeline and backlog that we want to, you know, go towards. And I'm sure it's a big ask from everybody as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to say real quick on that and what Kale was just talking about. I noticed that when you go to the Advisor dashboard, at least the overview, it does have a concept of green, orange colors, right? And it seems to use some score. Like, I think it looks like if you're over 80, I think it kind of, you're in the green. And then below that, it's orange. That's just my guess. But it does have this concept of grading the things. And you are allowed some leeway. You don't have to be at 100% for green, for example. Some of mine were at 80.
Wait a minute. Don't say that, Sajid. 100% for reliability. 100%.
Well, sometimes there are cost implications. There are other impediments that the customer may have, which will prevent that, right? So I understand what Kale is asking, but it does seem to have that sort of flexibility in the dashboard right now.
Actually, you brought up the cost implication. That's another one which is a big ask, right? Customers, when they are addressing reliability, one of the feedback we are hearing is we really need to understand cost implication. And sometimes just by the feeling of it is going to be too expensive, they reject the recommendations. So yeah, we are trying to see how we can bring in. We do have cost optimization recommendation, which tells you how much you are saving, but we don't have the cost implication metric. That is another thing we are working on very actively right now.
Great. Yeah. So you're just trying to keep me in work because, you know, as a reliability engineer, right? If people are exactly. People are 100% reliable, I don't have anything to do. This is great, Priyanka. Thanks for coming on. I do have a slightly personal question to ask you. So I'm looking behind you. You have, it looks like this row of bulletin boards or something with pins maybe or something. What is that?
These are magnets. My husband is a big fan of magnets. Okay. So wherever we travel, this is all the places we have traveled in the last 17 years of marriage. We just had our 17th anniversary on Sunday. And we were looking at this and we were like, that's huge. But you know, our board is getting empty now because we have small kids. We are not traveling as much. So we need to meet our bars, finish that one.
Kids are great, but they do tend to ruin that whole travel thing. They really do. Great. Well, that means when we have you back in the future, we're going to count and see how many you got behind you and make sure that you're continuing to go on your trips. Awesome. Absolutely. Great. I like that. Awesome. Great. Yeah. Well, Priyanka, any last words of advice or information you want to leave our audience with? I mean, this has been a great intro to Advisor.
I would love getting more feedback from everybody. I would just say we have new pillars. This is the first time we are all consolidated, single pane for all types of recommendations. I would love for everybody to go in and just try out, try WAF assessments, try workbooks, try managed reviews, look at the reliability recommendations, give us feedback. Feedback is such a big gift to us right now when we are investing so heavily and trying to do the right thing, and would love to hear more and see how the journey goes with Advisor for everybody.
Sounds great. Thank you
for having me here. Really appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, happy to. Like you said, we'll have you back in the future as y'all light up more capabilities. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
See y'all.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on LinkedIn. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.